remember, how did you sort of find out about the news about the war? Did you listen to the radio?
Yes, yes. This is what I was telling you. When I heard that the war was declared, I went out to the window straight because I could see the Soviets coming down.
Sorry, I meant in when you were in London.
London, yes.
Yeah.
We used to listen to it. We had, my brother had a little crystal radio. He used to put it on. And once that stopped, we knew the siren was coming. It was cut off.
And did you have to tell other people, like because you were talking about the pharmacy,
yes,
as well as selling medicine, do you think it was a centre for Gibraltarians to talk and catch up on news and everything? Because a lot of people who didn't speak English so well probably didn't know what was happening.
Yeah, but we all knew the war was on, and we used to talk English and Spanish. So we would communicate in that way. Because remember, in those days there was a lot of Gibraltarians had married Spanish girls. And that, this is why these women did not know the lingo.
Was there any prejudice against the...
Never. We've never been prejudiced with Spain.
No, I don't mean that. I mean in England, when you were in England, for English people.
Yeah. If we were in the bus, talking in our language, Spanish, they are gibbos. Refugees. And we should say, madam, we're not refugees. We've been evacuated from Gibraltar.
Do you think they even knew where Gibraltar was?
Some of them didn't. Some of them did not know. Even that Gibraltar was British. That Gibraltar was playing a very important part in the war.
I'm afraid to say that there's probably people who still don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure. Because remember, until the war, or after the war, it's when the English people started travelling outside. Before, they were in England all the time. They wouldn't go anywhere.
Also, because some Gibraltarians are quite dark, sort of more Spanish-looking, you know, there was a lot of prejudice about dark colour at that time too, because people hadn't met, you know, a lot of black people in England. It was so different now, but then it was different.
Yeah.
So that could be part of it.
Possibly. But, you know, we could speak both languages, and we were amazed to hear them.
But that's quite funny, because you could speak... You could understand every word.
Yes, that's right. We should defend ourselves. We're not refugees. We're evacuated.
Do you think anybody got into fights and that sort of stuff?
Do
you think anyone got into fights, the young men?
No.
Against the English, was it?
No, nothing like that.
No.
And I'll tell you another note. In the church that we used to go to, which it was Our Lady of Victories, remember, the English children were taken out, because I remember coming into England, seeing the train filled in with children taken away. So we were taken into this church with our open arms. And we did the 4 years service. And because there were few children, the priest, Father Marriott, used to take us to different convents to say Mass. And he used to take us. Well, we used to love it because we used to get tea, donuts and everything. We used to love going there. And on one occasion, there was a service in Piccadilly. And in there, this church was ages old. So old that the front of the... You couldn't recognize that that was a church. It was a house. It was in the times when the Catholics were being persecuted. Persecution. So we got there.
St. James's.
Yeah?
It's St. James's, isn't it? Yeah, I know.
And we got there. And we were told what to do. When this happens, you stand there, you do this and you do that and this. For weeks we went to rehearse. Apparently there was a bishop was going to be knighted, or something was going to happen. Anyhow, there was a point when the bishop had to take a seat. So this chair was like the one that you have in a piano, like this. The day came, I have to do this. Everybody dressed up with pompous, you know, the bishop with his mitre and everything. And he comes down, ceremony, sits down, and what happens? The chair collapses.
Did you just laugh?
The head's loose. The more they did, the more we laughed. But not only us, but everybody. Everybody in the church. He was hilarious. I can never forget that. So mitre on one side is everything.
Terrible. Oh, that's so funny. That is so funny. Oh, God.
You see. So I've served in Brompton Oratory Church. In South Kensington, Westminster, and I remember the first time I went to Westminster Church, going in the lift.
Westminster Cathedral.
And the surprise I had was frightening. I went up in the lift, first time in my life, and when the door opened, I was the first one out. See London in there, down below. I felt I was being, the gravity being pulled down from up where I was. I got the fright of my life. And we served them, benediction, the mass, and everything. So it was quite an experience. Yeah.
great stories. Go on.
Canon Walton was the canon in Kensington High Street, the church. Yeah. He was a very serious man.
And what about social life? What else did you do? Did you play football or go out?
No, we used to go to pictures. But sometimes when the siren went out of church, out of school, out of the cinema, off back to the hotel.
So everybody would leave the cinema when the siren went?
Most of them.
Do you think some people just didn't care?
No.
And they just think, well, if it happens, it happens, sort of thing. Yeah.
But we used to go back home quickly, you know, back to the hotel. Now, we had a club originated there, which was Kalpe Institute, that was inaugurated by a man called Mr. Patron. Major Patron. And we had their lessons, English, maths, history, a few other things. And amongst it, there was a piano. And my mother used to play the piano beautiful. She was a good pianist. I had an uncle who used to be a singer, opera. Every Sunday, after lunch, my mother would play the piano. My uncle would sing the opera, and I would be on my knees on a chair next to my mother, and when she nodded her head, I would pass the page. So I would be attracted. But when we had this notice that the piano lessons would be given, I was one of the first ones to put my name down. And I started going to have my lessons. Mrs. Weber, her name was. And she could see that I was getting on nicely, so she offered me one more extra lesson. But this extra lesson would be in her house on a Saturday morning. So my mother was so chuffed, well, what are you doing and all this? So the first time I went to the house, it was a huge living room. Two grand pianos, one on one side, another one here. Why? Because her husband was also a pianist, the same thing. But they were a doctor in music, right? So they used to sit on the piano each, and they used to demonstrate how to play. It was lovely, until the flying bones came along. And then my mother said, no, you're here. Stay here with me. What happens to me happens to you. No more. and I stopped playing the piano, but I was doing very well. I was being got ready to go for my first piano lesson in the Royal Academy of Music. So I was doing very well.
That's interesting.
I was really doing very well. But the war came along
and it
stopped everything. There was flying bombs. My mother would not let me go.